Our scripture reading this morning will come from two places. The first place is from Genesis 8, the verses 8 through 17. And then I'll also be reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 4, the verses 1 through 3. In your bulletins, there is a sermon outline. And on the back of that outline is the scripture reading this morning, where you can follow along from the English Standard Version of the Bible, from Genesis 9, and from the book of Revelation, chapter 4. So let's pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy and infallible and inerrant word. We find it in Genesis 9, beginning at verse 8. Then God said to Noah and his sons with him, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark, it is for every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." And then if you'll turn with me to the book of Revelation, Revelation 4, and we will read the first three verses of Revelation chapter 4. "After this, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, 'Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this.' At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. Around the throne, the rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald." Thus the reading of God's word this morning from Genesis 9, and also as we find it in the book of Revelation, chapter 4. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, it seems that almost every year, Hollywood comes out with a movie, another disaster movie, that includes a story of the fight for human survival. Whether it be a worldwide nuclear holocaust story, an invasion from aliens from another planet that want to steal the Earth's resources, an asteroid falling from space and a threat to destroy all the Earth should it make impact, or even a human-created environmental disaster that somehow we should be concerned about lest we destroy ourselves. These apocalyptic and cosmic tones are throughout so many of these recent movies. It's almost as if every film portrays some sort of disaster, and then there's a Noah-like figure, a survivor, a superhero who somehow survives the impact of the disaster and preserves the human race and preserves a new beginning from that disaster. These movies are popular. I'm sure you could name four or five off the top of your head. People love to watch them and cheer the hero that is able to overcome. Yet I believe that the popularity of these movies does reflect in some way humanity's sense of guilt and fear. That the world is wicked, that one day, because of its wickedness or what's wrong in this world, it will crumble to destruction. And whether it's a man-made disaster that wickedness has brought us to, or a threat from elsewhere to punish us for our wickedness, this theme comes through over and over again in many of these movies. And that somehow, in the midst of such a disaster, and overcoming that disaster, humanity needs or will get a fresh start, a decreation and a recreation theme. To counter this sense in our culture, God has given us our text today along with the covenant with Noah. And along with the covenant which we've looked at in previous verses, we look today particularly at the sign of the covenant, the rainbow that God has given. It is a sign that everyone who lives on the earth can see and know. And the question before us today is, what are you to think when you see the rainbow? The first thing our text establishes for us is what kind of covenant this is. You notice on your outline I've put the word universal covenant. And a universal covenant, we mean that it is a covenant that is for all. That is a covenant that some would describe as a common covenant. It means that this covenant with Noah is about God's undeserved kindness to all people, whether you are a believer or an unbeliever. A universal covenant means that what is promised in this covenant is not just for God's chosen people, His church, the people that know Him and love Him, even though they're involved. But it is God's common blessings, some call it common grace blessings, that are for both the believer and the unbeliever, those who are saved and those who are not saved. These blessings that include such things as the sunshine that shines on all and the rain that falls upon all. These are God's blessings that He bestows both on His people and those who do not know Him. It's what we mean by common or universal covenant. Well, who are the partakers of this universal covenant? Our text tells us repeatedly in these verses who the partakers are because God helps us see them and identifies them in these verses. In verse 8 and 9, we read that God spoke to Noah and his son. So God is initiating the covenant, and He speaks first of all to Noah and his sons, Noah's family. Verse 9, "Behold, I will establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you." So initially, as God speaks of the partakers of the covenant, it is for His people, it is for Noah, it is for his family, and the generations that have come out of the ark as part of the recreation. He goes on in the next verse, verse 10, to identify further partakers. "And with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark, it is for every beast of the earth." So every living creature that went into the ark, whether it be Noah and his sons, whether it be the animals, the birds of the air, all of these aspects of God's creation, every living thing is part of this universal covenant and will share in some of the blessings that God bestows in His promise that He makes. Then the partakers goes on at the end of verse 12 to say this. "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you," that's Noah, "and every living creature that is with you for all future generations." So the covenant promise is not only for Noah and the immediate people who are living as they came out of the ark, But it is for the future generations as well. It includes those who live on the earth as descendants of Noah and his family. It includes all humanity. It includes us to this very day. This universal covenant that is described is for future generations as well. You notice as the text flows how it broadens out the description of what God means. In verse 15, God uses the word, "It is between you and me and every living creature of all flesh." You notice also in verse 17, the word flesh is repeated. The last verse, God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." Again, the expansiveness of the flow is that this is for Noah's family, this is for every living thing, all the animals that are living, for future generations, for all flesh. Those are the partakers of this universal covenant that is described. Well, then, what is the sign of the covenant, this universal covenant? Well, when we consider the sign of the covenant, we must first remind ourselves of other covenant signs. When we think of a covenant sign in the Old Testament, we often think of the covenant sign of circumcision, where God had told Abraham and his descendants to circumcise their males, and they would then be in this circumcision sign set apart as God's people. When we think of signs for the church today, we think of the covenant sign of baptism and the covenant sign of the Lord's Supper, which we will celebrate next Lord's Day, both covenant signs that God has given in particular to his people. But now as we come to verse 12 and we speak of this universal covenant sign, you notice again God is using the language of a sign. Verse 12, "And God said, this is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations." And then look at the next verse. "I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth." The sign is described here as a bow in the sky. Now, we often speak of the rainbow, and the Hebrew word could be translated either way. It could be translated sometimes bow, some translations translate it rainbow. The bow in the sky is the sign. And what is it the sign of? It is God's sign of peace. Now, one interpretation of the bow is to look back into ancient human history. When we think back to ancient human civilizations, it was quite often true that as you look back at some of the pictures that you find of their remains of those civilizations, the pictures are of kings returning back as kings of victorious armies. And as they return back from those victorious battles that they have gone to fight, if they had been successful in battle, they would return back with their bow and arrow in the horizontal position. That means the bow is pointed up as the sign of peace and victory. The battle was done. Going into battle, the king on his horse has his bow in the vertical position, his hand ready to shoot as he goes into battle, knowing that the battle is still at stake. But after battle, the victorious king would come back with his bow turned horizontal, symbolizing the peace after war. God has just sent his flood upon the earth. He has destroyed all the earth because of man's wickedness and sin. And as it came down from the heavens above, it came in the form of a flood. As it came from the waters below, all the earth was flooded. When we go to the Psalms, listen to the language that is used describing the storm. Psalm 7, verses 12 to 13. "If he does not relent, he will sharpen his sword. He will bend and string his bow. He has prepared his deadly weapons. He makes ready his flaming arrows." Psalm 77, verse 17, the clouds poured down water, the skies resounded with thunder, your arrows flashed back and forth. Psalm 144, verse 6, send forth lightning and scatter the enemies, shoot your arrows and rout them, is the language of the psalmist describing God's wrath upon the enemies. God has just sent a flood. He has destroyed all the earth, and now in the sky, the judgment of God having passed, Noah sees the sign of a rainbow. A rainbow turned in the peace position, symbolizing the fact that God is now at peace with his creation. He will not destroy the world again, is his promise, with a flood. Now, there are others who say that perhaps the dome-shaped barrier of the bow is pointed to the sky in the bow position to show to Noah that he has stopped the floodwaters from coming down, a symbol across the horizon. One concern I have about that interpretation is that in chapter 7, it speaks of the waters coming from down the sky and the waters from below. But whichever position you seek to adopt in terms of the peace, what is clear is that God is giving us in this sign an understanding that he is at peace with his creation. When the multicolored rainbow appears before Noah in the sky and before us, future generations, in the sky, it stretches out across the horizon as far as you can see. It is bowed between heaven and earth, and it demonstrates in this sign a bond of peace between God and his creation, every living thing. But there's more than just the fact that God displays in the rainbow this bond of peace. But we must also recognize in the scriptures that the rainbow precedes what takes place in Genesis 9. One such place where this is described is the book of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 1, the prophet Ezekiel is drawn into the throne room of God to hear the prophecies that God has to tell him. And in verse 26 of Ezekiel 1, we listen to this. And above the expanse, over their heads, there was the likeness of a throne, in the appearance like sapphire. And seated above the likeness of the throne was a likeness with human appearance. And upward from what had appearance of his waist, I saw as if it were gleaming metal, like the appearance of fire encloses all. And downward from what the appearance of his waist, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and there was brightness around him. And like the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud on the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness all around. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and I heard the voice of one speaking. As the prophet Ezekiel is looking at the throne of God, the picture that God has given him, he sees a rainbow in heaven itself, a rainbow of peace, a rainbow which reflects the glory of God in the place of peace, which is heaven itself. And in the scripture I read from the book of Revelation, again, God is giving John a picture, a snapshot of what the throne of heaven is like. John, we're told in Revelation 4, is drawn up into heaven. The door of heaven is open for him to see. Verse 1. God tells him to come here and I will show you what must take place after that. And when he's in the Spirit in verse 3, he sees the throne of God and the one seated on the throne. And there surrounding the throne is the rainbow in the appearance of emerald. There is a rainbow in heaven that precedes the rainbow sign that God has given Noah and all those who see the rainbow following the promise of this covenant. This rainbow is a reflection of the rainbow that is in heaven itself. It means that the rainbow, in all of its glorious colors, is rooted in the throne room of God Himself. It is rooted in the place of peace, a place of redemption that is only found before God's throne when they have been forgiven of their sins and know His salvation. In the rainbow that God gave to Noah, and in the rainbow that He still gives us today, when you look in the sky, you are seeing a reflection of the throne room of God Himself and the beauty and the peace that is there. What then are the terms of this covenant? When we think of the covenants that we have seen thus far in the Bible, we may think, for example, of the covenant that God made with Adam and Eve in the garden, a covenant of works, a covenant where God said to them, "You may eat of any tree in the garden, but not of this tree." So God is the initiator of the covenant, and the terms, they are not to eat of the tree, lest they would surely die. But notice in this particular covenant that there are no terms, but it is a covenant that is only one term, that is God Himself. Look at verse 14 of our text. God declares in that verse, "When I bring my clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember," He says, "my covenant, because that is between me and you and every living creature of all the earth, and the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all the earth. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth." We know the parties of the covenant, God and every living thing. But the terms of the covenant is a term that only is for God Himself. Sometimes when people look at the rainbow, they think it is a sign for us to remember that if you look up in the sky, you are to be reminded that God will never send a flood like that again. But you notice in verse 15 that the verse actually tells us that it is a sign for God to remember. Now we know, of course, that God doesn't forget things. God doesn't need to have a post-it note and put it on the mirror or on his computer so he doesn't forget something. God doesn't forget things like we sometimes forget things and need a sign or a post-it to remember. But God is using anthropomorphic language here, language that we can better understand, to give us a sign to help us know that He remembers. It means in this rainbow, God condescends from heaven itself. He gives us this sign so we in our humanity can see and understand that He remembers. And in that sign, when we see it and know that He remembers His promise, it is a sign for Noah and for all of you that He is not going to send an environmental disaster that will wipe out all the earth and only a hero or two will survive. It is a sign that He is not going to send aliens from outer space to put their ship up outside the earth and to send their forces in to drain all of our resources so we'll be prisoners and run out of resources and may die, and a hero will have to emerge to fight them off. It is a sign that He is not going to send an asteroid that will someday come and destroy the earth, and we better send up the space shuttle with a nuclear bomb to blow it up before it comes and destroys all humanity, leaving us with a hero. But in this covenant that he makes with Noah, God is remembering two things. He remembers his promise. And contrary to popular belief, the first thing he remembers is that the world will never be destroyed and decreated and recreated again. He has promised that the next judgment that will come is a judgment by fire, a judgment where he will destroy all the earth and every living thing that does not believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The Lord will return to earth. That's the next worldwide fire and destruction that will come. We may see at times in various places storms and earthquakes and disasters, natural disasters, hurricanes that will come and even destroy and take human life. But a worldwide disaster will not occur again. And the sign of the rainbow is to remind us that that is God's promise, and he remembers. And that if you belong to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have nothing to fear, but you look forward to it with eager expectation. Second, the covenant promise tells us that there will be no Noahic superhero that will come and as a human somehow save humanity and give it a restart. The Lord Jesus, God's Son, has already come. He died on the cross. God's wrath, the flood of his wrath, came upon him for the sins of his people. And the only one that is still left to come is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And on that day, those who love him and are saved by him will go home with him as his elect and sit before the throne and the rainbow at peace. And so what does the rainbow say to us? What are we to think then when we see the rainbow in the sky? Have you ever noticed that when there's a rainbow in the sky, everyone around will take note and pay attention? Whether a believer or an unbeliever, they will notice its beauty. I've seen people as they stop along the road to actually stop and look or even take a picture, stopping what they're doing. One day, in recent times, I stood outside Walmart and I noticed a large group of people all gathered around looking at something. And I turned around and I saw a rainbow. A rainbow that spanned the horizon, and underneath the rainbow we could see the white Cascade Mountains and the waters of Puget Sound underneath. It was the most beautiful rainbow I had ever seen. And I thought of those people looking at it, and I thought, what is God displaying to them? Our text tells us that when you look at the rainbow, it's telling you two things. First, the rainbow is a sign that God saved Noah. God sent a flood. He destroyed the earth, and God saved Noah. God will never again send another flood or any kind of threat like that again. The next threat to come is the destruction of all the world by fire. There will not be another decreate, recreate again. God saved Noah. And if you have faith in Jesus Christ, God's Son, he will save you from his wrath and judgment to come. But what about the unbelievers standing outside Walmart looking at the rainbow? What if they don't have the Bible? What if they don't know the story of Noah? What are they to see? What are they to think of the rainbow itself as it's displayed before them? Secondly, the rainbow is a reflection of the glory of God's throne. The sun shines. The rainbow colors are displayed, reflecting the light of the sun. This is a reflection of heaven itself, a reflection of the throne, a place of peace where God's people will someday be as they stand before Him, redeemed of their sins and at peace with God. God gave this promise to continue the world until Christ would come, a promise for the believer, a promise for the unbeliever. And God gave us, He gave the world this sign to display His glory to the unbeliever so that they would see and know there is a God. There's a world beyond this world. That they were to ask as they see it, that God's Spirit would work in them to draw them to the knowledge of the true God. That they could find salvation. And that is why God remembers. That His glory would be displayed. That by natural revelation through the rainbow He speaks. That the unbeliever would have no excuse to say, there is no God and I don't know anything about a God. That God would hold back His wrath and judgment in the promise of the rainbow so the gospel would continue to be preached that those who do not know Christ as their Savior, His elect, would see it and come to know the true God through the preaching of the gospel and His special revelation, the scriptures He's given us. God has given us the sign of the rainbow, the sign of the Noahic covenant. It is a universal sign that everyone who lives on the earth can see and know. And the question before you this morning is, what does God tell you when you see the rainbow? Amen. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we thank You this morning for Your grace which is poured out to us and all the world in the promise of the Noahic covenant. We thank You, Lord, for the sign. A sign which shines not only to the believer, but to the unbeliever as well. We think of those, Lord, who look at it and see nothing more than something pretty as part of this world. But Lord, as Your people, we see so much more. We see and are reminded that You remember. We see and are reminded that You saved Noah from destruction in the flood. We see and remember that, Lord, another flood, another judgment is coming, this time by fire. And Lord, we are driven to Your grace and our Savior who's come. But Lord, we also know that there are so many in this world who do not know You. That when the rainbow shines as a reflection of Your throne in heaven, they see nothing of You. We pray, Lord, that as You speak to us through natural revelation, You would be at work in the hearts of those who see it, that they could be driven to Your special revelation, to our Savior, to the Scriptures, to Your salvation. We pray, Lord, for those whom we know in our life who can talk to us about rainbows but don't understand it. We pray that You would give us courage to speak to them about Your word and about the throne, that they too may someday stand before You and see the glorious throne of salvation and peace. We pray all of these things, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.